Thank you. Good morning, everyone. What a great service so far. So, you know, on a morning like this, I just really, and it's not that, I don't know, some mornings you feel God more, but, you know, there's just this reminder this morning to me of the community that we have in this place. You know, and the family that we are. And I just think that is such a beautiful thing and such a blessing. You know, and I want to speak on love this morning. You know, it's our big calling card as believers. And it's our greatest influence in this world. And I've just been thinking, you know, as it always is for me, what I speak out of is sort of like where I'm at and what God's challenging me about, and just what he's reminding me of. And I just want to share that with you because, you know, I'm most passionate about what he's doing in me. So I just hope this morning that you feel encouraged. This morning is an encouragement. And I hope you leave thinking, you know what? I have everything that I need to love people well. And so this morning I want to talk about, I guess, one word in particular in regards to love. And this word is connection. I don't know about you, but at different times, you know, this command to love one another, to love the world, it is just so ridiculously big, right? Like to love this endless sky of love, the world, this endless amount of people. And it's sort of like, how do we bring this idea of love, which can seem so far out, so large, so vast, into this actual reality, into, you know, the actual people that we have in front of us. And so this morning is not, you know, this one, you know, one approach to love, this is all you need to know and, you know, you're good to go. But I just want to hone it down and focus on this one concept this morning so that hopefully we're bringing it down to something which we can take hold of and walk out. So I want to talk about connection. Connection is a state of relationship where one thing is connected, linked, or bonded with another. You know, and I was thinking about my kids, and I feel like we can learn so much from kids because they're like raw humanity, right? Before, you know, they learn to act a certain way or fit in or, you know, whatever, become chameleons. They're just like raw humanity. And I was thinking about my children and thinking about, you know, what is it that is love for them? You know, and I just straight away thought of probably, you know, the one person in their life who is just like it for them. And that, you know, there's a few of them, but this one person, and it's my brother Tim. You know, and whenever Uncle Tim is going to be around, things are going to be like sweet with them. If Uncle Tim's there, then that's all we need to know. You know, and I was just thinking about what is that for my kids? And quite simply, and I really mean quite simply, it is connection. He's the one person that without fail, without exception, gets beside them, connects with them, speaks to them, looks them in the eye, and they feel that connection. And so because of that consistency and that ability and that commitment to connect with them, that's all they need. I know you love me. And that connection then gives him the avenue and the influence to bring things to them, to give things to them, to impart things to them. But it starts 100% with connection. You know, we can be people who have wise words. We can be people who, you know, who have resources. But if we can't figure out how to connect, then we're blocking this flow or this ability to resource others, to love others, to show people the love of Christ that we have within us. See, I believe that connection with people is not only the means to loving, and by means I mean literally like the conduit, you know, that which facilitates loving. It connection places us in close proximity to people. But connection is also the method, the approach, the strategy. And what I mean by that is connection with people enables us to see what love requires. And for different people, that's something different, right? I mean, love has a character. Love is about lots of different things, and we can find that in Corinthians. But how we love people has to consider the person. I mean, imagine it like this. This is us, and this is love. And it's not about our ability to figure out what this is, what love is, so that like an ATM, we can go around dispensing love. No, because in between us and in between love stands real human beings. And so we must go through people in order for them to see and know and experience love. And so we must consider the person. Not just figure out what the love looks like, it's the people in the middle. And when I think about my relationship with Jesus and the love that he's shown me, it's about the love in response to me. You know, I can think about actual situations where he's given me peace, or he's been patient with me, or he's shown me kindness. And it's not just about the patience and the kindness. It's about that response to that particular situation. You know, we all have a different story. And maybe when you think about what God has done in your life, you're just like, you know, he has rescued me from addiction. That is his personal connection with me. Maybe it's he's helped me to pray for my marriage. He's given me strength. That is his personal connection with me. And so it is personal, right? And you think about people in your life. You think about someone in your life who has made a deep impact. And I'm going to suggest it's possibly not something that they've given, something that they've, you know, done for you. It's a deep connection that they've made with you. Is you knowing that they see you, that they hear you, that their heart is for you, that they will walk alongside you. It's connection. So this is where I want to go this morning, church. Our proximity, our closeness to people matters. You know, who knows that it's hard to feel deeply or passionately about something when you may remain at a distance to it? Think about it. You know, so many things we can feel indifferent to because of our distance to them. I think of some global issues like the refugee crisis, poverty, religious persecution. Sometimes these absolute atrocities we can actually remain indifferent to because we're at a distance to that stuff. What about things closer to home? Bullying, unemployment, domestic violence, mental health. We can remain indifferent to these things because we stay at a distance to them. But I'm going to suggest that if you know someone who is in a domestic violence situation, or who has mental health issues, or who suffers with bullying or is in a state of unemployment, it's going to be a lot closer to home for you. It's not so easy to remain indifferent when we're in close proximity to people and the things that they face. You know, I was looking up some of the foundations and organisations, charity organisations in Australia. And it's just so interesting to see how so many of these research projects or these foundations have been established as a result of an individual's personal encounter with someone or something. You know, some examples, the McGrath Foundation. You know, they provide breast care nurses to women suffering breast cancer. You know, and this particular initiative of theirs came from a promise made between cancer sufferer Jane McGrath and her best friend Tracy Bevan, who had pledged that for the rest of her life she would provide this care for women. She walked the road with her. She had that connection. You know, Shalom House, a drug rehabilitation centre established by Peter Lyndon James, who's a reformed drug addict, whose connection and proximity to this world of drug addiction led him to start this rehabilitation centre for other people like him. Fred Hollows Foundation, I'm sure we've all seen the ads, that started in 1968 when he travelled to an Indigenous community where he was appalled at the condition of eye health. And he thought, I need to change this. And so he began going to remote communities, reaching out and offering his resources to the ones who needed it most. And that actually turned into a worldwide organisation where he travelled to developing nations around the world. His connection made it real for him. Destiny Rescue, a worldwide organisation dedicated to rescuing and restoring children enslaved in the sex trade. Tony Kerwin went to Thailand and became aware of the situation. And again, he came home and he said, we're going to change the story for these children. Helen spoke the other day about Foxglove Project. You know, Kelly Chisholm, who travelled to Rwanda and witnessed this successful help program for women. And so now she travels and she enables women to empower and to change their own countries and their own towns. You know, connection moves us to action. It does, doesn't it? Connection allows our passion and our compassion to grow. It enables us to see what the need is, the people, and it moves us to action. Brooke Fraser, who's a Christian singer-songwriter, writes a song called Albertine, and it's about a trip to Rwanda that she went on. And she met this girl called Albertine who'd been orphaned by the genocide in 94. And she writes in her song, Rwanda, now that I have seen, I am responsible. Faith without deeds is dead. You know, what have you seen that you're responsible for? And maybe it's not something so huge. This is her life and her story. But we all have eyes. And we all see, and we're all responsible. Faith without deeds is dead. You know, and if you know Jesus this morning, if you know Jesus, if you've got a relationship with Jesus, then you have been resourced with everything you need to be a great lover of people. You know, Jesus is our greatest demonstrator and educator of connection. But never in the Bible do we find that because of his love for us, we will, by some act of osmosis, love other people. I don't find that in the Bible. Instead, he gives us this profound, life-changing, heart-changing experience of love. He says, I'll pour out my unconditional love on you so that you can know and understand its power and its transformative work. So that you know and understand the value and intrinsic dignity of humanity. See, when it changes how we see ourselves, that's so we can see other people differently. You know, God's love is to remind us that humanity has been made in his image and it carries, by nature of his design, worth and dignity. He's our demonstration of love. You know, Jesus Christ came to show us what love looks like, the priorities of love, the motivations of love, the character of love. We receive it changes us, but now he shows us what it looks like. And his love also resources us. His love gives us the capacity to love others. His love grows in us compassion. It enables us to learn empathy and to build connection. And I say learn empathy and build connection because I believe love is something we learn. It's not just something that we do well. We have the love of God in us, but we got to get that out and give it to people around us. And that actually involves learning. You know, there are some skills that we need to learn so we can do that effectively. And, you know, and I think we could do a whole sermon series on stuff like this, but today I want to focus on connection. Brené Brown, who's a social researcher, she's one of my faves, she's just always got great stuff to say. You know, she says that we're hardwired to connect with others. We know that. We know that because right back in the garden, in Genesis, when God created man and he created everything that we have, our world, we're told, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. And God created one life in connection with another. And he created one life in connection with another, and he also created humanity in connection with him. It's not a new idea, but it's true. We are hardwired to connect with others. And so through that, we've been resourced within our relationship with God through his love for us. And we're actually also resourced to connect within our very humanity, within our very design. In 1 Thessalonians 4:9, you know, it says, "Now, about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other." We've been taught by God, and we have, because we've experienced it, we've seen it, and we've been resourced. But taught, isn't that the word? We've been taught, which means we need to be learners of love. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. There you go, I've got a C.S. Lewis quote for you. He says this, "Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the greatest secrets. When you're behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love him." Who knows that to be true? Like, really, I want you to have a think. Man, I think we underestimate our ability to love people. Sometimes I think we just need to give ourselves a chance to recognize what we have inside of us to give to other people. You know, my grandparents, and I know I talk about them, but, you know, they're just such a great example. And they're examples of people who have learned the art of connection in the most profound of ways. Like, no word of a lie, there are very few Christians in this world I meet who do not know who Ma and Pa are by some, you know, by some connection along the road. You know, everywhere they go and everything they do is accompanied with the story of another life they've encountered along the way. And their ability to connect has then initiated this multitude of acts of love for people along the way. Whether it's from conversation with someone in the queue at a concert, or Pa chatting with a patient he transports to Fiona Stanley, whether it's their neighbour living right next door, or the waitress at the cafe down the road. And every time you go and see them, it's not just I met someone, but it's like I met someone and the rest of the story. You know, one of the things they do is volunteering at the school mentor program. And they've done that, both of them, since they retired. So Pa's been doing it for 15 years and Ma's been doing it for 25 years. And I was up there last week and we just were talking about the significance of such a ministry, and they were just sharing story after story about these children across the years. You know, and Ma made a comment and she said, you know, people say it's just not my thing. She said, but you learn to love them. And I think there is so much truth in that. You learn to love them. You know, believe that you will learn to love people if you allow yourself to get close enough. You know, how many of us have been surprised by the compassion or sorrow or grief or respect we've felt for people when we've actually allowed ourselves to connect deeply with them. Might have been a stranger. Maybe it was just an unexpected encounter with someone. But let's believe that we have a greater capacity to love than we know. And let's give ourselves the chance to experience the heart and humanity of others and just discover the power and treasure of the love of Christ we have within us. And as we connect, then we begin to see what love requires. And I think this idea has been something that God has just been on at me about. Because I'm like, how do I love? What do I do? Just connect and see what love requires. You know, I'm sure Mara and Pardot wake up in the morning like, right, okay, today we're going to buy one jumper for a student. We're going to give someone money to pay their bill. We're going to invite someone to church. No. They wake up with an intention to connect. And along the way, those things absolutely happen all the time. Connect and you open the door to see what love requires. And because it's not just a pat answer, it's not like a one-size-fits-all approach. We're responding to real people and their real stories and their real needs. And so the love that we bring is so much more powerful. So I want to give you, and I promise it's not going to be long, 4 walk out the door practical, like, take-homers, okay? So, first thing, go and find some humans. Now, I say that in jest, but also kind of not, because I'm not going to lie, I have been, like, a chronic, you know, avoider of humans at times. I love people, don't get me wrong, but I'm like totally okay with not being with people too. So sometimes it's kind of, you know, I can choose to disconnect from people. Oh, I have to tell you this story too, so just in regards to connection. So I went on a course in the city the other week, and I had to go on a train by myself. It's actually a little bit scary because I've never done that before. Anyway, I was just like really like shocked by the lengths people go to deliberately disconnect from one another. So I'm not even talking about not trying to connect, but like trying to disconnect. So I get on this train and I got a seat, we're sitting, and I'm like, okay, so we're all sitting really still. I'm like, okay, we got to sit really still. It's like what you do. And, you know, there's one girl over here with, like, super dark glasses on. I'm like, okay, that's her, like, disconnection thing, cool. And then there's the classic, you know, technology, iPhone, earphone, yep, cool. And then there's this girl, like, and so I was like, you know, and she was there. And, like, no word of a lie, I don't even think she blinked. So she was just, like, looking forward and just like this. For, like, this whole half an hour trip into the city. And I was like, oh, that is some talent. To be able to just like sit so still and be so disconnected for so long. And so I'm sitting there and I'm just trying to, you know, just kind of fit in. And every now and then my eyes would wander to a person. I'm like, oh, no, look away. We're disconnected. And at one point the girl who was sitting next to me, she was a bit younger and she was kind of like discreetly like eating these Maltese. And she dropped one. And I saw her and she was like, do I pick it up? And then she's like, no, because we're playing musical statues and it's like, I don't know what to do. And I'm one of those people, like, so I sit with my legs crossed and then I have to change them. And I was like, whoa, I'm like way over my movement quota here. And I got out and I was like, I just need to move because that was really weird. But yeah, this connection. So go and find some humans and make an effort. You know, there are things that we consider, I guess, when we involve ourselves in whether it's different clubs or groups or activities, whether it might be a money thing, it might be a hobby, it might be exercise. You know, if our mandate, if our, like, literally our job description in this life as believers is to love one another, then I wonder if we actually kind of need to slip connection into our considerations about things we do. Like, quite seriously, do I have an opportunity to connect with people here? And does that actually need to be part of my consideration about whether I get involved or not. And I'm learning to do that. I'll be like, oh, I could take or leave whatever this is, but I might actually have the opportunity to connect here. And where that goes, not even up to me. But all I can do is make that connection and see what God requires. See what love requires in that situation of me. So go and find some humans. Second thing is pay attention to people. Like really pay attention to people. People know when you're not paying attention. And you can be in someone's company, and if you're not paying attention, they have disconnected from you in that moment. If we're busy forming our reply when we're having a conversation with someone, we're not listening. Man, and when you practice this stuff, you become so aware. Someone will say something and you start thinking, you're like, stop. It's not your time. Just listen. Like it actually involves this real, self-awareness. And that's like a whole other message for another day. But be aware of that. You know, if we're multitasking, we're not listening. And you're thinking about where you've got to go next or, what's happening later on or whatever, you're not listening. You know, if we're like poised and ready for a break so we can jump in and equate our experience with them, like, oh, yeah, I've done that. Oh, yeah, I had an experience that was worse than that. Or, I had a situation that was, even better. If we're just like ready to jump in and equate our life with theirs, we're not listening. You listen to understand, not to reply. Listen to understand, not to reply. I love this. Celeste Headlee, she's a radio journalist anyway, she did a TED talk on 10 ways to have a better conversation. And she says this, many of us have received advice on how to talk and how to listen. Things like look the person in the eye, think of interesting topics to discuss in advance, look, nod, smile, to show that you're paying attention. Repeat back what you've heard or just summarize it. Who's heard of some of those things? Okay. She says, I want you to forget all of that. It's rubbish. There is no reason to learn how to show you're paying attention if you are, in fact, paying attention. So true, right? Let's not learn how to show we're paying attention. Let's learn to pay attention. And she says, when your job hinges on how well you talk to people, you learn a lot about how to have conversations. Well, I want to suggest that our job hinges on that as well. When we embrace this life in Christ, we embrace the mandate to love. And so we too should be as dedicated about learning to listen, to pay attention, as someone who's a journalist. Third thing, where are we? So we've done, go and find some humans. Pay attention to people. Third thing, practice curiosity over judgment. Just think about that. Practice curiosity over judgment. So in conversations, in engagements, in connections with people, be curious, but not judgmental. Most people are not offended by the questions we ask, but by the judgments we make when we don't bother or are too afraid to ask the questions. See, there are two options. We either ask, we either get curious about people's life, or we just allow ourselves to judge. And I can tell you right now, someone would much prefer to answer your question than to receive your judgment. Mark Driscoll, pastor and author, says, everyone has something to teach if you're humble enough to learn. And Celeste Headlee, the same woman I quoted before, I love this. She says, go out, talk to people, listen to people, and prepare to be amazed. What a cool, position to have when it comes to other people. Prepare to be amazed. You know, engage with people with this sense of what is there in you that is going to blow my mind, something that I'm going to learn that is interesting, that is going to grow me, that's going to contribute to, you know what I mean? Be prepared to be amazed. Encounter people with this sense of awe and wonder and curiosity, because we have so much in our lives. There's so much. Let's assume that when we engage with people. And the last thing, number four. Do you want to come up, Brenda, if you don't mind? And this is a big one. Learn to be okay with the discomfort of difference. You know, how often do we deliberately or unintentionally disconnect from people, or at the very least not pursue connection with them, because we are so uncomfortable with the difference? Whether they think differently, whether they have a different lifestyle, whether they have different beliefs, it makes us uncomfortable, and so we just shy away from connection. Two things which have helped me, like in terms of understanding this, two things to remember. First thing is this: it's possible to connect with people who have different views and still leave the conversation with your own convictions intact. You know, sometimes I feel like we think that if we engage in a conversation who thinks differently, we're somehow surrendering our convictions. No. You can have a conversation. You can be curious. You can be interested. You can ask questions. You can engage with that person and still leave with your own convictions intact. And the second thing, we can still empathize with people whose experience is unfamiliar to us. You know, sometimes we think, I don't understand what they're going through. Their life is so different. How can I be of some value? You know, we send in the widow to talk to the widow. We send in the single mum to talk to the single mum. And that's fine. You know, it's fine to have people who have been through it. However, the problem is when we illegitimize our own potential for connection because of that difference. Is one's experience of grief or loss or adversity ever really the same as someone else's anyway? You know, likeness can create connection, but it doesn't necessarily create connection, and it certainly doesn't substitute empathy. You know, Brené Brown writes, rarely can a response make something better. What makes something better is connection. And you know, I don't know how many of you read the article in the paper on Sue this week, but that is an absolutely great example of that. You know, the people that Sue connects with on a weekly basis, she has not been through all those experiences. She does not know the worlds of all those people. There's not a likeness there, but by golly, there's an empathy there and a compassion. You know, it's not the ones who have been there before you that really make the difference, but the ones who are prepared to go there with you. And so, again, I want to say, don't underestimate the ability that you have to connect with people who are different to you. Be uncomfortable, feel it, but choose to connect anyway. Don't allow yourself to disconnect because you don't understand or because you don't have that likeness. So your four take-homes today, I guess. Go and find some people. When you have that chance to encounter, pay attention to them. Stop and ask the questions. Practice curiosity over judgment. Find out what's going on in their lives. Don't assume. Don't judge. And when you do that, you might find yourself starting to love them. And learn to be okay with the discomfort of difference. You know, I just want to share quickly a situation that happened to me this week. I was out shopping and I bumped into an old friend. And I guess I use that word loosely in the sense that it's not like, you know, we're ever close friends or anything, but from school days. And I was absolutely shocked by how sick this person looked. And we stopped and, you know, we said, how you going? Yeah, how you going? Yeah, good, good. And the conversation ended and we walked away. And my heart was breaking because I thought something is terribly wrong. And after a while, I just said to Jason, I was like, I've got to go back. See, I don't know what love I can show here, but I can choose to make a connection. And so I went back and I said, are you well? And we had a conversation and we arranged to catch up. And I just thought, man, it's too easy. It's too easy to walk away. But you know what? It was also super easy to connect. And sometimes we don't know. We don't know what love we need to show. What does God require of us? No idea. But I'm going to connect and I'm going to open the door to find out. So your two things I just want to leave you with is don't underestimate your ability to love people. My goodness, you have been resourced so greatly and richly with the love of Jesus. You know, and if you're someone here today and you don't know the love of Jesus and you've not experienced that, I would love to talk to you or Sue, because that changes your life. And secondly, church, let's stop worrying about how to love people. Instead, let's focus on connecting with them in a way that makes you stop and turn around and really see them, that kind of connection. And I believe that as we allow ourselves to connect deeply with people, to hear their stories, see their experience, know them, hear them, the how and what of love, it'll become clear. Do you want to just pop this verse up, Corey, that I'll leave you with today? So in 1 Peter 4:7, the Message version. And it says, everything in the world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerfully. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus. And he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything, encore to the end of time. Oh, yes. Father God, this morning, we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to be a church, a people, a community that is committed to connection with the ones that you place before us. Father, that we wouldn't be so focused on trying to work out what love looks like, but that we would just pursue the stories, the hearts, the needs of the people that you've placed in front of us. That we would commit ourselves to connecting with them, to being real with them, to sitting in discomfort, to being curious, to being interested. Father, we thank you that you have so richly resourced us through your love. Lord, with the experience of love, with the demonstration that you've shown us, Lord, and just this amazing humanity that we have, Father, we just pray that you would help us to do this, Lord, in our homes, in our workplaces, in this church, in our community, that we would be known as people who are willing to connect to others. We thank you for your love and for all that you are. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.